Hello and welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode 25, recorded on November 7th, 2013. The CFL playoffs begin. In this show, we talk about the CFL playoffs, we discuss the nominations for the All-Star teams and the Player Awards, and we make our predictions for the conference semifinals. All that and more next. And we're back with another exciting episode of the Sports Fathers. Tonight, it's the CFL, the Canadian Football League. Three downs, larger field, dangerous goalposts, 12 men on the field most of the time. And now after a grueling 18-game season, the playoffs are upon us. And here to talk about that and the nominations for the CFL Player Awards and a few other things, I've got Father Jeffrey Young joining me from St. Front, Saskatchewan. Hello, Father Jeff.
Hello, Father Jeff. How are you doing?
I am okay. It was nice and warm today. It even got a little bit above zero.
Okay. I've frozen my fortress of solitude here. So
yeah. What else are Canadians going to talk about besides the weather? I'm Father Daryl Millette in Watson, Saskatchewan, by the way. And also joining us is Father Andrew Schoenberger in Cold Lake, Alberta. How cold is it there, Father Andrew?
It's about the same as where you're at from what you just said, hovering around zero, just a little below zero.
Yeah.
But I do have a question for you, Father Daryl. You just said that there's 12 players in the field in the CFL, most of the time. What do you mean about most of the time?
There have been known, this season, there were a few teams that had 13 players in the field and got penalized 10 yards. That's what I meant.
Oh, you mean like what happened in 2009?
There was nothing that happened in 2009, and I'm not blotting it out of my memory. Oh dear. I guess I kind of set myself up for that one. But anyway, but this is the playoffs after all, and it's been an exciting season, and they're about to kick off the playoffs this Sunday. But before we get to the playoffs, the CFL yesterday and today released a couple of interesting lists. So yesterday they released the divisional all-stars. So the different all-stars from the offense and the defense from the East and the West. I know you guys have the lists in front of you there. In the East, you've got the best quarterback there, Ricky Ray. No, I think there's no secret to that one. That guy's had an amazing season when he's been healthy.
Yeah.
And in the West, the best quarterback was Darian Durant. No surprise there either, right? Right?
Nope. No, the only surprise with Ricky Ray, I suppose, would be he didn't play really. I mean, how many games did he play this year? Like, he got about half a season or something. So
yeah, I think it's his touchdown to interception ratio has been exceptional.
Yeah, sure. But if Durant would have quit halfway through the season, he didn't have any interceptions to about game eight or something. So
right,
it takes a full season to be a true all star. But we'll see what Ray can do in the playoffs. So
yes. Running back, the rookie, C.J. Gable, was the East offensive pick for running back, one of them. Mm. And he was exciting to watch. I don't know if you watched too many games with Hamilton, but he was an exciting player to watch.
Yeah, and he was also pretty cool for kickoff, punt returns, right? And
yeah.
He was on special teams. Yeah, he was real fun to watch.
Chad Owens was another player that was picked on the offense, another Toronto player. The Flying Hawaiian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, he also had some injury troubles. But, boy, when he's on the field and he's healthy, look out.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty impressive.
Yeah. The defensive side of the ball, you've got guys like Chip Cox, who I would hate to play against. I hate to line up against that guy.
Would you enjoy lining up against any guys on the defensive line in the CFL?
Well, granted.
Probably with broken legs.
Father Daryl, you're like 5'7", 5'8".
You're officially 5'7", possibly a little shorter.
5'7", a little shorter against the guy who's 6'4", 250 pounds, 300 pounds.
350 pounds.
Yeah. And I mean, Chip Cox isn't that big, but he's just solid and scary. On the Western side of the league, so we already mentioned Darian Durant, quarterback for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, who had a career year as far as quarterback efficiency rating goes. His rating, I think, was like 95.
Yeah.
The highest it's ever been for him. He threw for just over 4,000 yards. And his touchdown to interception ratio was pretty good too.
Oh yeah.
For running back, there was a tie there, John Cornish and Corey Sheets. No surprise there.
No surprise there.
No, Cornish and Sheets, they definitely had impressive seasons.
Yeah.
So do you really think, so do you guys agree with the commentators that Cornish is better than Sheets?
I think Cornish has had a little bit more of a steady season than Sheets in some ways.
Is Cornish better than Sheets? This season, no. I think as a running back, actually, he is. Sheets' numbers, he actually had two less games than Cornish, if you really look at the year. He was injured like the first play or something in the one game, but I counted as a game played. And then he missed another game or maybe even two.
Yeah, he missed the last game of the season.
Yeah, he missed the last game, but he also missed from the injury. He missed two games. And then Cornish, I think, only missed one game for an injury. So anyways, Sheets actually played in actually two less games than Cornish. And I would venture to say that he would have had more yards if he would have played those extra two games, but whatever.
Yeah.
Injury, and you got to figure injuries, right? So you guys as healthy as he is, right? And that's part of making him an outstanding player is if he can stay agile and durable, right? So, but I do think Sheets was better than Cornish this year. But it all, for me, all this doesn't matter until we'll see what happens in the playoffs. Because
exactly,
if Sheets gets 22 yards in the last game of the season, no one cares about the rest, right? But if he can keep up his momentum, it's going to be God willing, we'll see a Calgary Saskatchewan showdown in the Western Finals, and that'll be the whoever wins that game. It doesn't matter how good the running back does. Whoever wins that game will have the best running back, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
You've already basically, both of you then, I guess, because of your last comment there, Father Darrell, have already given away your predictions for the Western Finals.
I said, God willing, the Western Final, they'll make it. They still got to get past BC, but I think playing in Regina, Saskatchewan will win on Sunday.
And well, I think that any prediction that either one of you guys, and especially Father Travis, if he ever joins us again for during this playoffs, will say that any game that the Riders are in, the Riders are going to win.
No, that's not how I was last year, if you remember.
I don't remember you saying anything against the Riders. The Riders weren't going
to
win a game.
Oh, I'm the only contrarian. I actually picked them to lose that game last year. And Travis never picks against the Riders. I picked against the Riders, and they even won games that I picked against
them.
I felt guilty, but I did.
Father Travis chooses the Riders even when they're not playing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they can't lose.
Yeah, he's the definition of a fideism, blind faith, and and even the going beyond what faith entails. Yeah, but we love him anyways. Yeah.
Fortunately, the last few seasons, you could also say that there's faith and reason involved, because the Riders have, except for 2011, have actually been pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
So it's faith and reason, right? Together.
Faith and reasonable probabilities.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that. Yeah. Well, I see that there's an Edmonton Eskimo in this list as well, Fred Stamps. One of the Brights. Two of them?
Yeah, there's only two, but there are two.
Where's the other one?
Armando Sewell, defensive tackle.
Oh, yes, okay, I didn't look down that far yet. But Fred Stamps is... You know, I've enjoyed watching him play. He's torched the Riders a few times, more than a few times, in his time over in Edmonton.
He's
an impressive and gritty receiver. He can definitely make those difficult catches.
Yeah.
I was going to say, in a season like the Eskimos had, usually their only awards they get is for most punts or something like that.
Yeah. But, yeah. The Eskimos did not have a banner year, a 4-14 season. And as Cavis Reed said a few months ago, there has to be consequences, and he was let go this past week. The head coach.
Oh, really? Okay. I actually didn't hear that, but that was only a matter of time. I'm surprised they held on to him to the end of the year. But
They extended his contract in July, which, you know, so, and then they fired him right after the season was done.
Oh, that looks like typical Eskimo foresight there.
Yeah. Well,
trading Ricky Ray for their future, whoever, who did it? We got to break down that Ricky Ray trade. Oh my goodness, who did they get in that deal?
Hey, let me step back. Let's talk about that. Let's step back. We picked up Eric Tillman from the Riders, who actually did a good job rebuilding your team. Your team is what it is because of Tillman.
Roy Shivers too.
And then Tillman comes to Edmonton. I don't think you can do a worse job. Get to the Ricky Ray trade and. Really, what do we have to? What does Eskimos have today from that trade? Cap space. That's it. Cap space. That's all we got.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, at least it gave us a cap space so that we could actually get Mike Riley. Mm. And Mike Riley, I think, is going to be a very good quarterback. I mean, just he'll get into his groove, and I think he'll probably do very well next year. He actually had a good season this year. But I mean, nothing clicked.
He needs a bit of help up front.
That's right.
He was running for his life and taking some pretty wicked shots all season.
Yeah. But going there, I mean, Giles, he's not even playing anymore. I never thought much of him. they had one draft pick, I think, out of it. And then the other one was Grant Shaw, who's still their kicker. But he hasn't been doing very well. In a couple games I watched this season, I said between, Shaw and O'Neill, they had nothing. Like, I mean, those guys couldn't kick. I said, we don't have a kicker. both of them missed kicks that no other kicker in the CFL would have missed. And that was, I was pretty disgusted.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I love Tillman. First of all, he built up the little mini dynasty that we got, a team that's competitive every year. We've been in the Grey Cup, three times in the last few years? Only won one, but we'll see about this year.
Well, but to be fair, Roy Shivers had a big part to do with that. Like, the Grey Cup winning team was Roy Shivers' team.
Yeah, but hold on there, Father. I'm building up to a punchline here, okay? And not only did I like Tillman because he built up Saskatchewan, he also ensured Saskatchewan's success by completely destroying the Eskimos.
I knew you were going to.
He's really done a lot for the Riders on both sides of the border. So, I mean, who doesn't like Tillman? In fact, we should hire him back in a couple of years and he can continue his great work that he started in Edmonton there.
For sure. Absolutely. Fully agree.
Yeah. Now, well, maybe he'll get hired in Calgary and help us out even more, but we'll see.
Yeah. We can only hope. Calgary's been pretty dominant.
The thing with Riley, I think he's got a lot of talent, but one of the reasons why Cavis Reed deserved to lose his job, or I don't even know what, if he was encouraging it or what, but they would call him plays. Last games of the season, they had Riley, maybe the only offensive weapon in their play calling. And he's riding and he's getting hit. He's not even hook sliding. He's going all out. They're down by, they had like a lot of 3 or 4 and whatever season. And the guy's still like getting physically punished. They got no line, no blocking for him. And if he's really the future of the team, why are they even doing that? That's just bad coaching. Like, the guy's going to have a concussion I forget which commentator was saying on TSN is the season's done. And this guy's playing, God bless him. He's playing like it. He's fighting for the playoff spot, but the thing is, those hits build up. They're going to take 2 or 3 seasons off of his career. They're going to cause problems down the road when the Eskimos actually have a chance to do something. And so, why is the coach calling those plays? That's not him on the field. That's the offensive coordinator calling quarterback draws and all this.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid he's going to end up being like a Buck Pierce again, You know, yeah, Buck Pierce, who just kept getting concussion after concussion, and you know, he's battled back from it, so credit to him. But can't take those kind of chances.
Pierce is a little bit more. Pierce is more concussion prone. I think he could have other injuries, Riley. But no, Pierce has got some concussion. He's like an Eric Lindros kind of guy, just more likely to get concussions.
Yeah, that's an apt comparison too.
Yeah, Pierce is an excellent player, though. Like, if it wasn't for that, he would be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But
yeah,
he liked rushing. I mean, that's how we won our Grey Cup with Joseph. He was a big rushing quarterback. Durant, before he kind of started getting injury problems, was one of the best in the league. Like, he was doing what Riley was doing, almost out-rushing the running back every game.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's the those are the some of the picks for the All-Stars. Then today, the CFL released the Divisional Player Award nominations. So these are half a dozen categories, and they pick one player from the West and one player from the East, and the winners of those awards are announced Grey Cup week. So for the most outstanding player, the West is John Cornish, and the East is Ricky Ray. Who do you think is going to win on that one? Or who do you think should win, maybe, is a better question.
Most outstanding player, they get one nominees from each conference, and then
right. So it's Cornish or Ricky Ray.
Just one wins, right? Okay. I think Cornish should win if it's those two. Because, like I said, same reasons I said before. Ray is doing very good, but he also hasn't played a full season. Cornish has been exceptional. His stats from Calgary is just dominated.
Yeah,
to be honest, like. Calgary, I mean, Toronto wouldn't even be as high in the standings if they were playing in the West. Like, Calgary and Saskatchewan are the best two teams. Toronto's number three, if that.
BC might be I would tend to agree with that one. Father Andrew?
You know, the thing is that being from Northern Alberta, I don't like to say anything positive about Calgary. that being said, I mean, Cornish definitely has proven that he's very good. And Ricky Ray... It's true. He hasn't played a full season. There were several games that he was out. So I would give it to, I'd probably give it to Cornish.
All right. So we sweep on the Cornish. Most outstanding defensive player, Charleston Hughes for Calgary. There's five Calgary players in this, by the way.
Yeah.
Charleston Hughes for Calgary and Chip Cox for Montreal.
All right. You got to remind me what positions and teams they play for.
So Chip Cox for Montreal, he would be a defensive something or other. You figure I would do research first, right?
Oh, I didn't know we were going to be deciding these such things. I thought that was for the TSN.
He's a linebacker. Okay, so Chip Cox, the linebacker.
Yeah.
And Charleston Hughes.
Montreal, is it?
Yes.
I'm watching a Flames game in the background.
You're very certain about who you're going to choose, Father Darrell, that... You just knew them intimately, that you knew the position and everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway. So they're both linebackers. Charleston Hughes and Chip Cox, both linebackers, Calgary and Montreal. And based on how brutal they've been against the Riders, I'd probably have to go with Charleston Hughes. That guy's been a beast out there against the Riders this year.
For Calgary, yeah. No, I'd go with Hughes for sure. I'm going to have a Western bias.
Chip Cox has been pretty good, though. That Montreal defense has been solid.
I was going to add another little note there that on the John Cornish thing, since we are Catholic priests here on this podcast. You realize he also is one of there's quite a few guys that went to the one school, but he went to a Catholic high school that's very, very strong football school, St. Thomas More. But anyways, that's a good note.
Okay.
Yeah, went to a Cal High School and don't know if he's Catholic himself, but he definitely went to a private school there in BC.
Oh, very good. Burnaby. Golf clap.
Yeah.
So, Father Andrew, would you have to hold your nose and pick a Calgary player on this one, or would you go to Montreal?
You know, I actually can't pick anyone. like you, if I made a pick, it would just be totally just throwing a name out.
So basically, because Calgary played more against Edmonton and Hughes probably hurt Edmonton more?
Well, I really don't.
That was my rationale with the Riders. So.
Yeah. So basically, the only reason you chose Hughes is because you saw him playing against the Riders. And so
yes.
I've watched, unfortunately, very few games because I actually haven't had time that for me to say it. I'll pass on this one.
Oh, that's lame.
I
mean,
I don't like Montreal or Calgary. So therefore, that was the first Grey Cup I never watched was the first time I saw that Calgary and Montreal were going to be head to head. I said, oh, I have no interest in this game whatsoever.
Well, the next category, most outstanding Canadian, another Calgary player. You can guess who that is. Mr. Cornish.
Mm-hmm.
And then Henok Mwamba for Winnipeg.
Cornish. If Cornish wins the most outstanding player, he's going to win the most outstanding Canadian.
Can you imagine? He wins most outstanding player, and then Henok Mwamba wins the outstanding Canadian.
He was a talented player, but he didn't promote his Canadiana enough, so he lost that one.
Yeah. No, I think if the one of them has been nominated for the most outstanding player, how can he not win the outstanding Canadian?
Yeah.
Like I, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that happened, that happened to me once. I won most, for a diocese, I won most outstanding person, but I lost most outstanding priest. So, I guess, yeah, that was a little bit of dualism going on there.
All right. Most outstanding special teams player, Rene Paradis, who broke Paul McCallum's field goal kicking record, consecutive field goal kicking record, with an asterisk in it. With an asterisk in there, I suppose.
Yeah, because he missed a few.
Well, there was one that was blocked, but there's one that was blocked, but that didn't count against it.
Yeah, and I think he also...
That one didn't, and then when he hit the upright, that would have broken the streak.
Did it?
Yeah, but the block didn't break the streak.
Yeah, there was a block one, but there's also one where they fumbled it or whatever. They didn't. He didn't kick it. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. That's the block. The block counts as a fumble, so it didn't count as a
field goal kick.
And then Mark Beswick for Hamilton, but I think it's got to be Paradis. I mean, anytime you break a record like that, like he's just been solid all season.
Who was the other guy?
Mark Beswick.
What did he do?
Well, he's a linebacker for Hamilton.
So it must be a returner.
Okay. Let's go with Paradis.
Well, you know that they're both Canadian, right? This is the first time that both Canadian, two have been Canadians nominated for most outstanding special teams players since '99.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
But we'll see. Cause I mean, the thing is also with Cornish, I mean, Cornish would be the first, he could be the first Canadian to be named CFL most outstanding player since 1978.
So, yeah, that's true. It's big deal.
And only two have actually been ever named most outstanding player before. So, Tony Gabriel and Russ Jackson.
Oh, Tony Gabriel.
He was a singer, right?
Well, he was the one who caught the game-winning, the Grey Cup-winning touchdown pass against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in 1976.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Peter Gabriel. Never mind.
No.
I didn't realize he played football. Yeah.
You know, the 76 Grey Cup, the year that the Rough Riders were guaranteed to win, Ottawa versus Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't remember that. I was minus 7 years old.
What? Come on.
You're talking about
in God's mind.
You're talking about the year that the Red Blacks beat the Green Whites?
Yes.
Oh, that's clever. That's going to be. So next year we got Ottawa, right? The Red Blacks?
Yep. The worst team name ever, but yeah.
No, Rouge et Noir, c'est bon.
Well, they should just go with the French. The French sounds better.
Well, sure. Well, on this show, let's pass a resolution. We're all going to be Rouge et Noir. You don't say the other name. Them that will not be named. Voldemort.
Yes, the team that shall not be named. Most outstanding...
Sorry, that was the Baltimore No Names. I forgot that team actually existed. Remember the No Names? When the Baltimore team came in, at first they didn't have a name, so they called them the No Names.
I don't remember that.
Then they called them the Stallions. Yeah, that was a big news thing. They started playing games as the No Names.
That's like 20 years ago already.
Yeah, I do remember that, though. And I think Calvillo was actually their quarterback.
Yes.
That's how long he's been around.
Well, he started with the Las Vegas Posse.
Mm-hmm. But then he went to Baltimore, right? Like he was bouncing around a few teams.
Yeah, and he was in Hamilton for a bit and whatever.
Oh, who wasn't? Who wasn't?
Yeah, exactly. Most outstanding offensive linemen, Brendan Labatt for Saskatchewan and Jeff Keeping for Toronto. Now, I mean, that's a hard one to pick because, I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's not that hard. There's somebody from Saskatchewan, so obviously they won.
So you pick that one. But I mean, it's hard to pick because you don't really have any stats to look at or anything.
He's also got a beer brand as a name. That gets him some bonus points, especially Saskatchewan.
You know who
Johnny Pilsner. Johnny Pilsner is the only one that could ever top him in my voting, but he hasn't played yet for Saskatchewan.
Well, Andrew?
I think there's actually something saying that the two top quarterbacks in the league, the two most outstanding linemen are on those two teams.
Yeah.
Which definitely makes a difference. But considering the fact that Ricky Ray, I mean, although he's getting a little bit better out of the pocket, has been very much a pocket quarterback his whole career, and he's not the greatest in terms of his running and his scrambling ability, I have to go with Jeff Keeping just because of the season that Toronto's had with Ricky Ray.
Now, of course, Ricky Ray was injured on a sack.
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
That can happen.
Yeah, but what did he
happen this time? Are you saying that Darian Durant was never sacked?
He was sacked a lot.
Yeah, he was.
And Labatt was, I don't know, doing his nails or something like that. Yeah.
Actually, my pick would have been Chris Best. Because Chris Best, he was, when Saskatchewan was doing so well the early part of the season, Chris Best was in the lineup, then he got hurt and Saskatchewan stopped doing so good and Sheets' production went down.
When
and now he's back for the playoffs.
When they were at their best. It's been a while since we had a pun.
Yes. Anyway, so those are the player awards, and those awards will be coming out or being announced during Grey Cup week. Should we look at the playoff games?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Earlier today, I put out on Facebook and Twitter asking people to comment and, you know, give their picks for who would win. So on Sunday, there are two games. The Montreal Alouettes are playing in Guelph, Ontario against the Hamilton Ticats. And then the BC Lions are in Regina against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And so on Facebook and Twitter, we had Susan, who picks Saskatchewan and Montreal. Valerie picks Saskatchewan and Hamilton. And Corey picks Saskatchewan and Hamilton. So those are some of the picks that I got online there.
And let me guess, they're all your Twitter followers, and they're from Saskatchewan.
What? Who? How? So, pleading the fifth on that one. Father Andrew, what are your picks for this weekend? What's going to happen?
Well, I mean, as we know, in the CFL, anything can happen. And so,
yes.
But I'm going to say that I would predict Hamilton. And, you know, I'm going to go for BC. The thing is I'm going to cheer for Saskatchewan, but I think BC is going to take it. So I'm going to say Hamilton, BC.
Mm-hmm. Travis Lule is back. That does kind of concern me.
Yeah. And Father Andrew,
they actually have a running back
in the CFL. Not anything could happen, because one thing that will never happen is the Eskimos are going to actually play on Sunday. So there's one thing that will never happen. Good pick. Yeah. And BC could definitely, they've been playing good. They could upset them, but you might as well pick BC, because then if the Riders lose, at least one of us will be right.
So what are your thoughts about Hamilton, Father Andrew?
You know, the problem is as I said before, I haven't been able to watch as many games as I'd like. But Hamilton's record's quite impressive. Plus the fact that, you know, I sort of have hopes for Hamilton, because Hamilton, the fans have been like patient with them for a long time. Like most of the last 8-10 years, they've been down in the dumps. And they've had no success. And so I'd really like to see Hamilton actually have a good showing in the playoffs.
Sounds good to me. So Father Jeff, what are your picks?
And I'm not a fan of Montreal.
Well, yeah, who is?
Who is?
Father Jeff.
Yeah, my picks, I'll pick the Riders, but I think they're going to just squeak it out. Like, it's going to be bad. They're going to be down at half and I think they're going to win it in the second half, like usual. The defense is going to do everything. Secondly, I think the Guelph Tiger Cats are going to beat the Toronto, whatchamacallits, but no, sorry, the Guelph Tiger Cats are going to beat the Montreal Alouettes. And actually, I think they might even upset Toronto in the final, but we'll get to that later on. But because they're a strong little team. But playing in Guelph, I think that was the best thing they could have did with this whole thing. It looks like a really engaged crowd. It's almost like Taylor Field-like atmosphere. And Hamilton always has pretty good fans, but I think that was a kind of a nice little move for them, just like Montreal playing at McGill.
Yeah. It only seats about 13,000, though. It's a very small stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, but also it means that there can't be any Montreal fans there. There's not enough room.
Sure. So Father Travis, who's often on this podcast, he's made his picks as well. So he says, Troy Smith is starting his first playoff game as quarterback for the Alouettes. My money is on Kent Austin's Ticats. So he's discounting the fresh new quarterback for Montreal and going with experience of Burris and Kent Austin. And I have to say, I absolutely agree. I think the Kent Austin factor, and you know, if good Hank comes out, Henry Burris, then they're not going
to
be beat.
Just to be clear, Kent Austin's actually not starting at quarterback, so he's not going to be doing a lot.
Just he's the coach. Clear.
Yeah.
But Henry Burris, who's he's kind of been known. If he's on, he's on. If he's off, he's off. Kind of like Roberto Luongo or something.
Kent Austin is the only reason that the Riders won the Cup in 2007, right?
Well, that and all the players.
Sure. Yeah. Like how many touchdowns did Kent Austin throw for there? I can't remember.
I seem to think that the players scored the most of the points.
Yeah.
So it was just because of how the conversation was going. It seemed to imply something else.
Well, Kent Austin's a good coach. And Hamilton early this season had a lot of injuries. And I think it took them a little while to get used to everything. But now he's got them playing really well together. Now, I don't know if they're going to beat Toronto, but I think they will beat Montreal. And then Travis didn't give his pick for the Saskatchewan game, but I think we can probably guess what his pick is for Saskatchewan BC.
I'm sure it was a BC landslide of 42-8.
Well, I'll put it this way. So I jot these down on my sticky notepad here so I can put them on the website after. And before I did anything, I put down Saskatchewan for Travis. For the Travis. I just figured it's probably the safest bet.
Yep.
So for me, as I said, I agree with Father Travis, Hamilton and Saskatchewan. Although I also agree, it's going to be a close game in Regina.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if it's a blowout for either side. I could see Hamilton maybe blowing out Montreal a little bit with the new quarterback and everything, but BC getting Lule back and now having a decent running back, I think we could be in for a good one there.
Yeah, I think they're both going to be real close, nice, entertaining games. So, definitely, if Calvillo was in, I can't remember our predictions at the beginning of the year who would be in the finals, but I think I said Montreal and Saskatchewan, but that was I said because Calvillo was whatever the Pope of the CFL or something like that. But the Pope has abdicated apparently, so never saw that coming.
Well, what do you think? Should Calvillo hang him up?
I don't know. What's his situation? Is he injured or is he supposed to be back next week? Or
had that concussion. I think he's been able to be practicing and whatever, but
it's
concussion then, problems.
Then I think it's time. He'll probably retire. Like that's something that it's not gonna. It'll happen again if he doesn't. It's not really worth it. He's got enough accolades and championships and everything. Yeah. So,
well, he's 42.
Did they say anything about him possibly being back for playoffs if they win this game?
No. It was a couple of weeks ago. They announced he was out the rest of the season. He wouldn't be coming back.
You know what's interesting, actually? I'm looking back at the episode from August 23rd, and about this, and I wasn't at that episode, but for Father Travis, Father Jeffrey, and Father Darrell, you guys made a comment on predictions on what the standings would be like. and
Saskatchewan.
And Father Darrell was the closest. He had the East perfect. Toronto, Hamilton, Montreal, then Winnipeg. And for the West, the only thing he mixed up was 1 and 2.
And I mean, given that that was in August, Saskatchewan was still top then, so, or tied for top or something like that.
But I mean, surprise, surprise, that all three of you put Saskatchewan as number one.
Well, it's not surprising at all, actually.
Well, it would have been surprising like 10 years ago if we said that, but they've been near the top every year, so.
Yeah, except for 2011.
Yeah, like the unfortunate thing for, well, to be honest, the Oilers, the Eskimos too, is that I think the top three teams are 1, 2, 3 in the West in the whole league, and I think Toronto's 4. Yeah. But
there's three teams tied at 22, so.
Well, that's why I'd like to see them get rid of this whole two division thing, especially once they have 9 teams in the league. Like, just make it the top 6 teams in the league make the playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't think you should do that, though, because right now, for the longest time, the West has dominated the league, and they don't want the East to die.
Yeah.
Yes, they can
play better. Yes, they can play better then.
Otherwise, it'll be like a 5-team league. Winnipeg will stay in to be with the West, and then it'll be like no more teams in Ontario or Montreal.
I don't know. For the longest time, the East was dominating, too, like 20 years ago.
Okay.
You know, when Rocket Ishmael was brought into the Toronto Argonauts and John Candy was a co-owner and stuff, they would actually sell out the Sky Dome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I remember that time, but I don't remember them really being that dominant. That could be wrong.
They're always going to have the advantage with money to be able to bring in the star guys. And Toronto, Hamilton, Montreal, in some people's mind, basically had purchased or have the three best quarterbacks in the league. So I don't think it's going to be an issue. Like, but I do. I like Father Darrell's idea, just having just a one league, and you have the top teams make the playoffs, like the top whatever you want to have, six.
Because the Riders would have a bye this week in that situation.
Yeah.
Well, are you sure they have a bye at all?
They're second overall.
Well, I know, but I mean, there's three teams that are at 11 and 7, so I guess it just depends on how they're going to rate it. I guess
they should have eight teams make the playoffs, and then Rouge et Noir will miss, and that's what they should do. It's 4-4-4.
Hey, yeah. Winnipeg's got to make the playoffs some year, eh?
Yeah. Well, when they did last, wasn't the last time they did it, they played us in the Grey Cup?
It was in BC. They made the Grey Cup in 2011, lost that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they lost to us in, what was it, 07?
Yes.
1907.
Kevin Glenn.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
So I think we've made some predictions. We would really like to hear what you think about the CFL playoffs. You can get a hold of us. All the information is over at thesportsfathers.com. You can reach us on Facebook and Twitter and on the website and email and whatever. Just let us know what you think of the CFL season, what you think of the CFL playoffs, what you think of the CFL, the player awards, whatever.
The mascots.
Yeah. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm very much looking forward to the games.
And I am too.
Thanks for the support. And with that, keep fit and have fun. Have a great evening, everyone.
God bless. Take care.
God bless. Good night. Stay warm. Stay holy.